Alice Zaslavsky with you, filling in for JP. And if you texted 0437 774 774 to ask Cheryl if you could pick up the curtain rail today at about 3 p.m, you've texted the wrong number. So try again. But if you have texted to tell me about something that you have won, that is what I'm asking you about. Geraldine, about 13 years ago, I won tickets to the Bell Shakespeare Company's King Lear and Twelfth Night from this very radio station. The competition challenge was to identify which of Shakespeare's plays a short quote read out on air was from, and tickets were given away once a day for a week. I was a single parent and about 6 months pregnant at the time, so I knew I couldn't afford to go to theatre shows for quite some time. I was determined to win those tickets, says Geraldine, so I glued myself to the radio and phone every day. One day, the first two words of the clue were, "What ho!" I started calling the station immediately without waiting to hear the rest of the quote. My call was answered and I was the first caller. Hooray! And, wait for it, guessed that those two words were from Macbeth. How's that? It was the best prize I've ever won. Watching John Bell play King Lear was a sublime experience. Sheer brilliance. Almost as good as my talent for identifying lines from the great bard's plays. Geraldine in Monbulk, what a text. What a yarn. Thank you for texting in. You tell me, what have you won? 0437 774 774 or give me a call. 1300 222 774. And I wonder, when you enter competitions, do you think that there is an element of luck to them? Do you feel it in your waters when something is yours for the taking? Perhaps you too might have some psychic tendencies, and you might be wondering, is now the time for me to change careers and become a psychic of my own? Well, Rose Smith is an astrologer and psychic, one of Australia's most renowned psychics, and we're going to find out what Rose does to earn a crust. G'day, Rose.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. I know how very busy you are, particularly at this time of year. Why is it that at the turn of every year we feel the need to reset and find out what's next? What do you think drives that?
Yeah, I think it's because, and I have this belief myself, you know, January is sort of like the template for the year. So, if we plan our year out, and I use the word plan very loosely, but if we, you know, sort of spend some time and sit down and think about what we'd like to accomplish this year, it sort of gives us like a bit of a roadmap, you know, maybe not accurate, but, and, you know, maybe there's a lot of other things that might happen as well. But gives us an idea of where we're going, and I think people like to feel like they have a sense of power and control over their own lives.
And year to year, often when you're reading astrology reports or sort of predictions, each year kind of has an identity or a sense about it. What can we expect for 2023?
Oh, there's a lot happening, but it should be a little bit sort of calmer. And I use that in the broader sense of the word. Not as, you know, we've been through a lot in 20 and 2021, you know, all of this COVID and all of the world events that have been happening. We have really been through the ringer. We're just so lucky we're in Australia, actually, because it could be a lot worse, you know, as in other countries. But yeah, it is a bit quieter, but we do have some big changes coming up in March with Pluto changing signs and Saturn changing signs as well. But, you know, at least for 2023, I think it's a sigh of relief overall.
Now, Rose, I have to ask, because so much of the astrology predictions are based on the planets, why? What is that saying, you're ruled by the planets, and why does Mercury going into retrograde seem to turn the world upside down?
Well, it certainly does have, for certain star signs, it does have a big effect, and it depends on where Mercury is in your chart, your natal chart, as to how much effect it has on you. And it depends on, you know, lots of variables. What sign is Mercury in when it's going retrograde? But all of the planets go retrograde, in fact. And it's just a sort of cosmic illusion from our standpoint here on Earth that if we could look up into the sky and see them, that they would look like they are going backwards. But then, of course, they're not going backwards. It just looks like that. So we say retrograde. But it does have, it changes the quality of the energy, and it does have an effect on us. So not just Mercury retrograde, Venus retrograde has an effect on our relationships as well. And Mars retrograde can have an effect on conflict and war and things like that.
So what's happening to the planets in 2023? And I know you've made some predictions more broadly about the world and some high-profile public figures. What's going on there?
Well, the planets, you know, the heavens have their own thing that they go through, you know, and it's they don't actually force us to do anything, in fact. They're just influences, background influences, and particularly the outer planets, so what's called the transpersonal planets, Uranus, Neptune and Pluto, they're very, very background, and they affect us in our subconscious more than our conscious mind. But the personal planets, Mercury, Venus and Mars, affect very much our day-to-day lives, you know. So there's always something going on. I guess the most important thing to remember is no matter what you're going through, and we've all been going through stuff, no matter what it is, that the planets impel, they do not compel. So they don't force us into responding in any particular way. That's always free will and our choice how we respond.
Rose Smith is the voice that you hear, a leading astrologer and psychic in Australia and founder of Absolute Soul Secrets. And Rose, before you founded Absolute Soul Secrets, which has a bunch of psychics that can help people with psychic readings online, you had quite a few different professional hats that you wore. At what point did you realise that actually I think it's time for me to listen to spirit, listen to the voices and do something more, I suppose, do something more with your talents? When did you first realise that you were psychic?
Well, I've been psychic all of my life. I had a very difficult, abusive childhood. And I think if you talk to anybody who's been abused as a child, that they do get a sixth sense naturally because, like, you don't want to get bashed or even worse. So you become very sensitive to energy. And unfortunately, I think there's lots and lots of people in this situation. And so it's just a matter of whether you want to take the natural ability that you have and sort of develop it professionally. Do courses, practice. It takes a lot of practice. Meditate is the biggest thing. If you can spend, you know, even start off at 10 minutes a day, morning and night, meditating, just make your mind a blank slate and then just note afterwards what your impressions are and just practice doing that. And it takes years. There's no shortcut way to this, unfortunately. I would have done it if there was a shortcut. But how I started this business, so it was not my life plan. Like, I was actually tutoring university students at a university, a rural university, and I've also got a background in counselling people. And so this was not the plan for my life, but I went through about 4 months of dreams nearly every night. And Michael the Archangel would come and write the name on my forehead in white light. And I used to wake up in the morning and tell my husband, and he got sick of it after a month. Like, he's got no patience, does he? He was sick of it, hearing it every morning. And I used to say, what does this soul secrets mean, you know? And it drove him nearly nuts. And then it took me about 4 months before I got the message, because this was not what I planned to do. So that was back in 2000, and here we are, 2023, still going.
Still going. And I knew that this topic was going to bring up lots of different opinions on this conversation. Is it something when you meet people for the first time, are they more or less open to it, or do you often get people saying, oh, I don't believe in any of that?
Oh, I don't care if they don't believe. They can do whatever they want. It's a free country so far. May not always be, but it is at the moment. So, you know, I just think people should listen to themselves, basically, and go deep down and listen to what their guiding instinct is. And if people don't believe, that's okay. You know, I'm really sort of not going to waste my time trying to convince people of anything, and I can't be bothered, basically.
And, Rose, who does tend to seek out your advice and wisdom?
I will say women. We do have men customers. Sure, we do, but mostly women, and all sorts of walks of life. The only one group of people that we don't tend to get is scientists. But having said that, I have read for a microbiologist, and I think I've read for an astronomer as well. But that's sort of their sort of aberrations. That doesn't normally happen. But sort of police, managers, teachers, celebrities, drug dealers, murderers, and everything in between. So most people are open to it.
And how do you, so beyond beyond dealing with people by, if they don't believe, then you just move right on. Who do you think, if somebody does believe and perhaps they want to take this up as a profession, what are some key personality traits perhaps of a good psychic or astrologer?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial to be non-judgmental of people. You know, it's only by, I'll say luck for want of a better word, that we're not in their shoes. We're in our shoes, basically, but, you know, if you can put yourself into somebody else's shoes and think about what might have happened in their life to make them do things that you may disagree with, then, you know, that helps you become less judgmental. So it's very important to be non-judgmental. It's very important to be empathetic and sympathetic to people. You know, a lot of people suffering in the world. Even in Australia, which is, you know, the best country on earth, in my opinion. A lot of people are suffering, so you really have to have a kind heart.
Indeed. And because this is How Do You Earn a Crust, I have to ask, is being a psychic lucrative as a career, Rose?
I would say for some, not for all, everybody. The issue is I'm probably the only one I know that's sort of practical and down to earth. A lot of psychics, where they fall down is they're not grounded in practical reality. I'm actually married to an engineer who's retired, and he's a very practical person, and I think some of that energy's rubbed off onto me, and some of my psychic abilities rubbed off onto him. So he's become a psychic engineer, retired now. But we've been together for many decades, so of course that happens. And so if a psychic can make good money, if they're practical, if they care about people and they want to do the best service, you know, the best psychic service that they can, and where you make the money is not on the first initial consult, but when the person comes back to you year after year because you know that you have genuinely helped them.
There you go. Well, Rose, thank you so much for your time today. And hopefully, if you're out there thinking about becoming a psychic, that's given you some tips. All the best for 2023.
We're always looking for great psychics. So, yeah, thanks for that.
There you go. Rose Smith, astrologer and psychic. And after the news, we're going to get a little bit more grounded. In fact, we are